Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our psalm of the day, Psalm 90. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, my Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? We just sang those words just a second ago. My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? Well, you will probably remember from your Bible that Moses, who wrote Psalm 90, Moses never set foot in the promised land. He lost it. He lost it. He lost his cool with the Israelites. And with all of their endless bickering and whining and griping and collapsing in despair and giving up and not trusting the Lord and seeing only the negative of things, all of the personal attacks and the rebellions and the forming of factions and the dealing with delegations who came around to set things right. And so it was, you read in the Bible, that the people said, come, let us make a golden calf. And 3,000 of the people fell on that day, struck down by the Lord. And so it was that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offered an improper offering before the Lord, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And so it was that the people complained of adversity before the Lord, and the Lord struck them with a severe plague. And so it was that Miriam and Aaron complained against Moses, and Miriam turned leprous, white as snow. And so it was that Korah and Dathan and Abiram rose up against the Lord, and the ground that was under them split open and swallowed them up, and their households and all their possessions. And so it was that the people of the congregation grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and a plague began from the Lord. And those who died of the plague were 14,700 people. And so it was, Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, you read that Moses' sister Miriam, one of the leaders of God's people, close to her brother, had just died. Miriam died, and rather than Moses being able to just have to deal with that, yet another delegation came to him and began raising a disturbance, raising an uprising about lack of water. We don't have enough water to drink. You take all of that together, and then the Lord spoke to Moses. And he said, well, take your staff, assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock that is before their eyes to yield its water. And then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank together with their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Moses lost it with the people, and then he lost the promised land. So close. They were on the very borders. So close after so many years of wandering in the desert. And now Miriam did not set foot in the promised land. Aaron did not set foot in the promised land. Moses did not set foot in the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 3, I pleaded with the Lord, this is Moses talking, I pleaded with him at that time, I said, please, let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. And so, Moses did not set foot in the Promised Land. Actually, that's not technically true if you read the whole Bible. Because when our Lord Jesus came into this world, and he was transfigured on the mountain in the Promised Land, and he shone with the glory of heaven as bright as the sun, we are told that Moses and Elijah stood there together with him, sharing in his glory. Their presence testified that he was the Savior. Their presence there testified that they were saved. And on the mountain of transfiguration, Moses set foot in the Promised Land. He set foot in the Promised Land. And what did it matter? What did it matter? Seriously, what did it matter? The man was righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ who had washed him clean. The man dwelt in the glory of heaven. He dwelt in a place where there was no evil thing. He dwelt in a place where you don't have to pray. You don't have to say, Lord, hallowed be thy name, because God's name's already hallowed in everlasting life. You don't have to pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, because you're right there in God's kingdom. You don't have to say, Lord, thy will be done, because it's always done there. Book of Revelation, chapter 21. This is what Moses knew. I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. In his life on earth, Moses did not get to set foot in the Promised Land. But what did it matter? What did it matter? Because if you look where he is, you see that he is in the light of the glory of God, the light of the glory of his Lord Jesus, his Savior. He has eternal life, which God promises to his children by grace. So what happened on earth? Ultimately, what did it matter? Well, a lot of things matter to a lot of people. You look at the Old Testament lesson for today, and you see some Israelites. You see some people of God, at least they are by name. And because they are the people of God, the Lord is spending his time with them in his love and his care. The Lord has sent his prophet to them to speak his holy word to them. The Lord is spending his time with them. But these Israelites seem to be spending their time, on, and I quote, pleasant vineyards and houses of hewn stone. They seem to be under the impression that the reason why they have been placed here in God's good world is simply for the acquisition of wealth. And as so often happens with the acquisition of wealth, not always, but very often, there are things that aren't right. There are things that are not correct. There are things in the dark. There are things under the table. And with these folks, there are fees that they charge to people that are exorbitant. There are bribes that they pay to get lucrative deals. There are lawyer tricks to defraud those, who have a just cause. The prophet Amos says this is an evil time. It is an evil time. Well, if you turn to the gospel lesson, you have a young man who looks just the opposite. We're told that this young man, by his words and his actions, actually touched the Lord's heart. This young fellow is happy. He is cheerful. He is moral. He keeps his hair cut short. He's the kind of young man you want your daughter to meet. And he goes away sorrowful because, once again, I quote, he had great possessions. Now, I don't think we want to take that to mean he went away sad because he loved his stuff and he couldn't let go of his stuff, but rather this young man knew that wealth makes you somebody and poverty makes you nobody. Proverbs chapter 18, the poor people have to plead to get what they want, but the rich can answer in a rough manner. And so this young man could not bear losing the status that he had. He could not trade in the respect of man for the respect of the Lord. And what did he gain? He gained nothing. What did all of it matter? It mattered nothing. Because what do pleasant vineyards and houses of hewn stone and the respect of man matter in comparison with what you already have in the Lord Jesus? What do they matter in comparison? What did we just sing a few moments ago as a good hymn? What is the world to me? What is it with all its vaunted pleasure when you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are my treasure? It's like the verse from Matthew chapter 8, and you know how it goes. What does it profit a man, how does it finish, to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Now that question that the Lord asks is purposely left unanswered, and it's left unanswered to set you thinking, to ask yourself, is this or that or the other thing to my profit or to my loss? What is it that matters? Today's second lesson. So be careful, brothers and sisters. Be careful lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There are things that harden your heart toward God, that distract you from the Lord. There are things that deceive you in this life. And whatever they may be, whatever the sin may be, whatever the distraction is that makes you wander away from the Lord, what does that matter? What's the profit in it? It could be, like for the folks in the lesson today, it could be money. That's the one that's the root of most evils, all kinds of evils. There could be power, there could be wealth, there could be status, there could be recognition. It could be a sinful relationship you want to hold on to. Your heart may just be set on finer things than the Lord has intended for you. And sooner or later, if you're a child of God with the Holy Spirit, you recognize that there's a lot of things in this life that just aren't going to come your way. A lot of things where you're not going to step foot, like Moses didn't step foot in the Promised Land. But what happened for the man? Eventually, the day came when he reached the real home of the righteous, the real Promised Land, and he shone in glory with the Lord, and he was righteous with God, not because of his own working or his own morality. He was the fellow that whacked on the rock. But instead, he was washed clean in Jesus' blood, in Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus' righteous life counted for him, and he could say, "My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me?" And so, Moses prayed, Psalm 90 today. He said, Lord, and this was his request. He said, Lord, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Now, you could take that prayer to mean, Lord, I've had 100 bad days, so give me 100 good days. But when you pray to the Lord, be prepared to receive far beyond what you ask or imagine. It's not, Lord, I've had 100 days of bad on earth, give me 100 days of good. No, instead, it's Revelation chapter 7. These people who are in white robes, who are they? Where have they come from? These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, and Moses could tell you about that, his 120 years with a lot of difficulty. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes, they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and for this reason they are before the throne of God, as Moses was and Elijah was, as every child of God is. They will hunger no longer, they will not thirst, the sun will not beat down on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And the only question in the end is, did you get there? Did you arrive there where Moses was and Elijah was? Every child of God is. Did you get there? Did you arrive there? Because if you did, what else matters? What else matters? My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.